Welcome to Married to Murder. I'm Clint.
And I'm Summer.
And we're a true crime podcast.
Where I tell him all of my favorite true crime stories, and he's hearing it for the first time, just like you.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy a tale of murder.
Welcome back, everyone. We're on to episode 2 now. Hope everybody had some good Thanksgiving dinner the other day, and we just released our first episode just the other day as well.
All right. Like you said, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And today we are talking about the disappearance of Sarah Stern. And we are in Neptune City, New Jersey on December 3rd, 2016. So the Neptune police receive a 911 call stating that there is an abandoned silver 1994 Oldsmobile. Any comments about the car, my car guy?
That's a little bit old school. Probably not in the best condition, I would think.
Well, we'll find a little bit more information about why she had this car. So, it was on the Highway 35 bridge on the southbound side. So, Nicole Hawkins is with the Belmore police. She goes out about 3:39 a.m. and meets with Officer Learning from the Neptune Township Police. And he lets her know that they, you know, got this report of the car. There was no one in the vehicle, but the keys were found inside.
Oh, that's just somebody trying to get rid of a piece of shit they're tired of dealing with.
Well, they had the vehicle towed. They run the plate, and they find out it actually belongs to 96-year-old Lillian Stern.
Okay, well, that certainly explains the age of the vehicle and the make and model, then.
Miss Lillian does not normally drive this car. Her 19-year-old granddaughter, Sarah Stern, drives it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, obviously, Sarah is not with the car. So, the police actually go to her house to do a welfare check. And this town, Neptune City, is actually very small. There's 4,700 people, which is... The reason probably they actually did like such a great job, because normally when you're an adult and you're not, nobody knows where you are. They're just kind of like, you're an adult. You can do what you want to do. No biggie. But they immediately start looking for her.
Oh, so that's a good thing.
I know, right? Like, they did a great job. The police really, really did an exemplary job on this case.
And that sounds like a small enough town where everybody knows your business no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, and a lot of people did know her. When, if you watch the, you know, like the 2020 episode or different ID network shows and stuff, they'll talk about it. And there's at least one or two people that are like, oh, yeah, I've known her since she was a child, that type of thing.
Yeah, makes sense in that small of a population.
So they go to her house and they go to do a welfare check, and her house is unlocked.
That's not a good thing. But then again, the keys were in the car, too, so.
Well, they go in and nothing's disturbed. Like, it looks just like it's fine. No big deal. She has a dog that apparently was, like, really, really, you know, important to her, as you know how dogs are important to us. And the dog was in his cage. Fine. There is police cam, and you can actually see them, you know, going through the house, and they actually talk to the dog. It's really cute. Like, they make sure the dog has food and water and check on him. So,
that's nice of them, that they made sure the doggo was okay.
I know, props. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. So, she actually lives with her dad, Michael Stern, but he was in Florida going to Disney. So, they call her dad, and he freaks out, as a dad does when you don't know where your daughter is. Starts calling her. He can't get in touch with her either. They had pinged her phone, actually. They'd gone through that trouble. Still couldn't find her. And her dad immediately starts driving back from Florida to New Jersey.
That's a rather long drive.
I want to say they said it was about 13 hours.
That sounds about right. I would say at least 12.
So he's driving back. So a little bit about Sarah. She was born March 14th, 1997. So, she is about 6 months older than our oldest child.
Yeah, that math adds up.
Mm-hmm. So at the time, she was a very beautiful 19-year-old brunette with dark brown eyes. Let me show you a picture of her, and we will post it. This is what she looks like.
Yeah, definitely fits the classic description of beauty.
To me, she looks almost like she's got either like some American Indian in her, or can you say like Eskimo? Like, I don't even know if that's the right terminology.
I think it is.
What is it?
Inuit.
That's right. You said it right. I couldn't think of the right term. Thank you for correcting me.
I is smart.
You're something. But I mean, she just has that look about her, but I don't know, but it's beautiful for sure. So apparently she was very, very artistic, did lots of paintings, lots of drawings. Her art teachers said she was fabulous. She was an only child. Her parents did not think that they were going to be able to have children. So she was their miracle baby.
As the only child typically is.
She was on the swim team and played softball in high school. She had her own YouTube. She was kind of not like alternative goth, just alternative. Like, she wasn't like a girly girl, like, oh, look at me, let me do my makeup. Like, she was very like, no makeup, I'm going to make my own path, I'm artsy, just very cool girl.
Okay, so kind of typical pop girl high school type situation almost.
Yeah, but she was out of high school. She'd already graduated. She was 19. And she was working at an ice cream shop, but she wanted to do like more stuff with her art is what she was kind of wanting to go with. So initially the police are considering, you know, the options. You find a car at the top of a bridge and you don't find a person. So their first thought is somebody jumped off a bridge.
That would be a reasonable thing to assume at that point in time.
So they find out that she's got some friends who said that she was a little bit unhappy with her life right now. Her mother had actually passed away from cancer 2 years before.
Oh, that's just sad.
Exactly, yeah. And a neighbor had told them that her dad had started a new relationship. So she was upset about that. And so her relationship wasn't as good with her dad as it used to be. So she was a little depressed about that. And I believe that's who he had gone to Florida with, this person that he had the new relationship. So that was their first option. The second option was that she had ran away to Canada. She had made some new friends through her YouTube channel and had visited them in Canada before. She had mentioned possibly wanting to move to Canada. So there was a couple of people who were like, oh yeah, she wants to go to Canada. So that was their second option. And the third option was that somebody had done something to her.
Now, moving to Canada requires a bit of a paper trail and some paperwork to do. At least legally, anyway.
Right. So, any thoughts where we're going?
Somebody took her.
So, the police are canvassing the neighborhood. Talking to all her friends, talking to her neighbors. So, they speak with two of her friends that she's known since middle school. Liam McAtasney and Preston Taylor. And they are actually roommates. And just a side note, Liam's actually a twin. But he didn't live with his twin. He lived with Preston. That was kind of interesting.
Well, he's been with his twin the rest of his life. Maybe want a little alone time.
I don't blame him. Some people should do that.
I don't disagree.
So Preston was actually Sarah's junior prom date. And they went as friends. She had never dated either of these two guys. They were just, you know, friends. She wasn't dating anybody right now. Just, you know, she had a lot of guy friends because apparently she was very, very likable. So Liam told the police that he had spent that day with Sarah. They had hung out, they had gone to Taco Bell, and then they went back to her house, and then he had to leave about 4 o'clock to go to work. He added that she had been depressed because of issues with her dad, that she had been suicidal in the past. So while these police officers are, you know, interviewing everybody, they still have other officers that are continuing to search the water, and they are not finding any sign of her body, clothing, you know, any type of anything to show that she has been in the water.
I've got a feeling that they won't at this point.
The water actually leads out into the ocean. So,
well, technically speaking, almost all bodies of water ultimately lead to the ocean.
That's true. So the police find out that she also went that day to the bank, and she has a safety deposit box, which is kind of weird for a 19-year-old. Most 19-year-olds don't have a safety deposit box.
It depends. I mean, there's no reason not to have one, but, you know, unless you got something logical to put in it, there's no reason not to have it either.
Want to guess what she had in hers?
A passport?
Maybe. What are you, is that all you want to guess?
I don't know. I mean, you can put anything in a safe deposit box, honestly.
Well, of course, they were really curious. So they get a warrant and they go look at her safety deposit box. And they found $25,250.
So she'd been sitting on some money then.
Ice cream shop pays well, huh?
Something tells me that didn't all come from an ice cream shop.
Okay, so Sarah had actually found that money. Her parents had a beach house. And the story goes that her mom had left her that money inside the beach house.
It's logical.
And so it was old money. Like, it was crumbly money. Like, it was very distinctive because it had been exposed to the elements, like, by the beach. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of starting to degrade. But, and nobody knows exactly how much she had because she didn't tell her dad she got it.
Of course not.
But she told her friends. So it's possible that she had up to $100,000 when she started.
Oh, Jesus.
But at that point, she was down to a little over $25,000. So, like, the police are continuing to investigate. They find out, you just mentioned her passport. Her passport was at her house.
Okay. Well.
So the $25,000 is in the bank. The passport's at the house. Her favorite jacket that she wore everywhere that she had, like, she had designed it. She didn't design the jacket herself, but she had added things to it. Like, kind of decorated's not the right word, but, you know, she had put things on the jacket, and it was very important to her. She wore it everywhere. That was at the house. So they started, they were like, she's not going to Canada and leaving her passport and leaving $25,000. Leaving, like, you know, she was really close to her dog. All these things, she didn't, you know, she didn't have a way to get there. She didn't have her car. So they kind of give up on the Canada idea and are really kind of stuck between this, either she committed suicide or something happened to her. But if something happened to her, they have no clue what happened at this point.
I got a feeling they're going to get a clue.
They keep investigating. The neighbors, luckily, across the street had a surveillance camera.
Oh, that's good.
And this is before Ring.
Yeah, it seems like everybody and their mom has got a Ring or some variation now.
Yeah, this was 2016, so was Ring around in 2016? Maybe it was. It didn't say what brand, but it was a surveillance camera.
They were just, I think they were just starting out around that time. It was just starting to be kind of popular.
Well, it showed, one, that Liam never mentioned that they had gone to the bank, because he actually went with her. He didn't go into the bank, but he had rode with her and sat in the car. And speaking of small town, when she went to the bank, she went inside, and the bank manager has known her since birth. So, like, she was waving at him, and it's really cute because he's known her forever. Like, she just waves it. Like, you can see her on camera. And it's just, you know, people don't even go in the bank anymore. They just kind of go through the drive-thru or ATM or whatever. So it's really cute that she actually goes inside the bank, and then she's actually known the bank teller since birth. So I thought that was kind of sweet on the camera. But Liam, for some reason, either forgot or whatever, he didn't tell him that she'd gone to the bank. But luckily, they had found out. So when they get back to her house, the neighbor's camera shows that's about 3 o'clock. And he had left a little after to go to work. And that shows on the camera as well. So about 5:21, there is a figure that you can see goes to Sarah's house. But you can't tell.
Mysterious figure. The plot thickens.
I know. Like, you cannot tell. So, it's kind of dark. So, you cannot tell anything. And then the next thing the camera shows is Sarah's car leaving at 11:45. and you can't tell who's driving. Is it Sarah? Is it that mysterious figure? Who is it? You can't tell.
I got a feeling we're going to figure it out soon enough here.
So Sergeant Brian Weisbrot and the police continue to investigate, but the case starts to go cold. So they're really at a dead end. They don't have anything else. You know, they've done everything. I mean, they've honestly done a really, really good job as far as investigating, but they just don't, I mean, they don't have a body. They don't have really any route to go.
Got no leads, no direction to go in.
Yeah, they've investigated everything. So luckily, they get a call.
And that's good.
They get a call from Anthony Curry. So who is Anthony Curry?
We have a new player that enters the game.
Correct. Anthony Curry actually went to high school with Sarah. But he didn't really know her. They were just kind of, like, he knew of her. But they weren't, like, besties or anything. So, and he, you know, had graduated with her. And then after graduation, he had moved to New York because he wanted to be a filmmaker.
Everybody's got aspirations.
He was actually doing really good. He does make films. I don't think, you know, I mean, I don't think he's like rolling in money or anything for sure. But he is like,
the name Starving Artist exists for a reason.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, he's 19 and still young in 2016. So he happens to remember, like, he sees on the news, you know, hey, this girl I went to high school, this is what's going on. She's missing. And he remembers that when he had gone home at Thanksgiving, which, remember, Sarah goes missing on December 3rd. So this is before she goes missing Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
He has a conversation with another guy that they went to high school with, Liam McAtasney.
Okay.
So Liam had told him how he had this plan that he was going to steal Sarah's money. And he was going to kill her.
Oh, so Liam has now become suspect number one.
And Anthony didn't believe him when he told him. He was like, you're just, you know, bullshitting. Like, this isn't real. You're not going to do that. So then he sees that she's actually missing on the news. And he's like, holy crap. You know, what happened? Did he really do this? So then he starts getting these Snapchats from Liam. And Liam, like, has the police come in touch to you? Have they talked to you? Like, what have you said to him? And the police were, like, Anthony Curry, like, he wasn't even on their radar. They didn't even know anything about him. They hadn't asked him anything. They had no clue who he was. So Anthony Curry's, like, actually really smart. He did not take a screenshot. Because, you know, on Snapchat, if you take a screenshot, it notifies the other person that you took a screenshot.
That it does.
So he takes like an actual legit camera and takes a picture of it.
Camera or another phone.
Yeah. Like he took
some other device.
Yeah, exactly. So that he has, you know, proof of it, but he's not letting Liam know that he took the picture. So, like I said, then he calls the police. He lets them know, hey, this is what's going on.
So he kind of drops a little information then.
Exactly. So then they decide they're going to call. They set up Liam. They get him to call him. And he tells Liam that he needs to borrow some of the money that he got from Sarah. Because when Sarah had gone to the bank that day, she'd actually taken some money out. Yes, she left $25,000, but she'd actually taken some out.
How much is some?
We're going to get there.
Okay.
So she had taken them out, so Anthony's like, hey, can I borrow some money or whatever? And so they wire up Anthony's car for video and sound. So there's actual video of this. So luckily they didn't put anything on Anthony. It's all on the car. Because when Liam gets in the car, the first thing he does is pat down Anthony like they're in some kind of mob movie and says, like, bruh, like, no disrespect, but I gotta check you out and make sure you're okay.
If that doesn't scream suspicious, nothing does.
Right, exactly. Like, why are you checking if you haven't done anything? So, he basically, it's obvious he wanted to tell him he did this.
He was just so excited he pulled it off that he had to tell somebody.
Oh, very, very, very. And you can go online on YouTube and watch the whole thing. It's just disgusting. He's a horrible creature. He is grinning the whole time he's talking about this. No remorse, no, like, nothing. Just, it's disgusting. He says that he picked her up. He said, this is a quote, "I pretty much hung her. I picked her up and I had her dangling off the ground. It took me a half an hour to kill her. I set a timer." He set a timer on his phone.
What kind of psycho does that?
Liam McAdasney. He thought it would be quicker. People don't realize how long it actually takes to, like, choke and strangle somebody. It takes a lot longer. That's always, when you listen to stuff like that, people never, they think it's easy because it's on TV, and it's nothing like it is on TV.
No, it takes several minutes to choke somebody, even to the point of passing out.
He says, the worst part of it is I thought I was going to come out with $50,000 to $100,000 in my pocket, and she had one safe that she took the money out of, and she only had $10,000.
You killed somebody over 10 racks. What the ever-loving hell?
And basically, they spent it on partying.
Really?
So, he lets it drop. Preston knows.
Oh, Preston knows too?
Yep.
Uh-oh, that makes Preston an accessory, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So, he also says, this is quotes, "And this money, I don't know if it was burnt or something. It's effing old money. Terrible quality. I don't even know if I can put it in any effing bank." And then he says, "I don't feel any different. I really don't think about it. You always think you're going to try all these new things and change, but it just doesn't do anything. It's weird." Like, he was very like, oh, this is going to change how I feel. And it didn't change me at all. And he was aggravated that he didn't feel any different.
I guarantee he felt something. Otherwise, he's an absolute and complete psychopath.
I think he is a psychopath. I don't think he killed her for the money. I think he killed her because he wanted to kill somebody and see what it was like.
No, that's not a great reason, but at least it's a reason.
Well, I mean, neither reason is good.
Nah.
So, and I mean, you can see in the footage, like, he has literally, like I said, no remorse. And props to Anthony Curry, because he should be an actor, not just a filmmaker, because he handled all of it. Like, he didn't flip it. He handled it really, really well. Like, he didn't know about the Preston part at all. He didn't, like, flip out at that, because he tells him, oh, you can't, you know, I can't tell Preston that I'm telling you because Preston might come kill you because you know and you're not supposed to. And so the figure that came a little after 5 o'clock was Preston, because at that point, Sarah was dead.
So Preston was coming to kind of take care of loose ends, I take it?
For some reason, they decided to move her body to the yard. I don't understand this, but Preston came, moved her body from the house to the bushes, and then when Liam got off work, they both snuck back in, and apparently that part's not on, somehow they hid from the camera, the neighbor's camera, and put her body in her car, and then drove her to the bridge. And then they did throw her over the bridge. Her body's never been found.
She's long gone at this point, then.
Yeah, it's horrible for her dad. But why they moved her from the house when they had to have known her dad was in Florida. And those are the only two people that live there. So I don't understand why they moved her body from the house to the yard. Where, like, possibly a neighbor's dog could have found it or something.
I can't think of any logical reason why you would do that.
Yeah, I just don't understand it at all. And Preston just helped him. Like, I don't understand how you have a friend like, hey, I got to go to work. Can you do me a favor? And he was like, sure, bro, what you need? I killed Sarah. Can you go over to the house and put her body in the bushes? And he just did it.
I mean, that's what friends are for, right?
I mean, I might help hunt somebody hide a body, but I doubt it.
It depends on the somebody and depends on the body, too.
I'm certainly not hiding a body for $10,000 just because you're a psychopath. You have to be like an abusive husband or something.
But that or a really, 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 really high sum.
No, we're not doing it for a high sum. Oh. That's shitty. Also, can we talk about how he talked on the when he was doing this confession? He talks about her dog.
He was a bastard.
He was like, the dog didn't do anything. He just sat there. I'm like, the dog was in a cage. What was he supposed to do? You killed her, and then you talked about her dog.
At the very minimum, dog should have barked. But if the dog is used to seeing that person there at any sort of regular intervals,
then he's known the person. She's known him since middle school, so the dog knows him.
Exactly.
She thought it was a friend. The dog thought it was a friend.
Exactly.
You know, and it's not like the dog knows, hey, that's strangling. You know, I mean, I was so mad he talked about the dog. That just,
nah, I'm more mad he talked about the dog than him killing the girl.
I'm mad about both.
Well, agreed, but
she didn't do anything. Like, she thought this person was her friend. Like, literally, it's the friends like these. Once they know that Preston's involved, the police go get Preston and bring him in. And he folds quicker than, like, anybody you've ever seen in your life. Like, admits it, testifies against Liam, like, takes him through a walkthrough, like, this is what we did, this is where everything is, like, quick as can be.
Rats them both out very quick now.
Oh, like, drop of a hat. But also, emotionless. They've got the police video of the walkthrough. Like, it's so... not just no remorse there either. Like, y'all have known this person since you were like 11. How do you not show any emotion about killing somebody that you've known since you were 11?
Well, I mean, New Jersey isn't known as the happiest place,
but this was like a beach city, like they're on the seashore.
Yeah, but the water up there is cold. You can't exactly swim in that comfortably. Why do you think people come to the South?
I don't know.
And Florida and
Blood the rest seeing. Of the people seemed, she seemed happy. They should have left her alone, let her be happy. She could have been artsy and moved to Canada and lived happily ever after with her dog. Assholes.
Yeah, they definitely constitute as assholes, that's for sure.
And so Liam had taken the money that he took from her and put it in a safe and buried it in the sand on a beach. And the key was on his keychain when they arrested him.
Dumbass.
So, they get arrested on February 1st, 2017. Liam's defense said he absolutely did not confess. That was not a confession. You want to know what it was?
Bragging?
No, Anthony is a filmmaker. That was an audition.
I call bullshit.
That's what he said. It was a total audition. He was just trying to impress Anthony.
No, there's too many coincidences. No, nope. Nope. Not happening.
I mean, I thought if you were auditioning for a role, people knew that you were auditioning. You didn't just audition for roles that nobody knew about. And you didn't normally pat people down before you auditioned, but silly me.
I guess we got a lot to learn about showbiz, but yeah, no, I don't. No, no, I'm calling bullshit.
Exactly. It's the worst. So, Preston was sentenced to 18 years.
That's it?
That's because he made a deal. And Liam was sentenced to life without parole.
Oh, good.
That's the good part. His mom will make you want to throw something out of a window because she 100% will tell you he was just auditioning and he is completely innocent and that is absolutely not a confession. And you can watch it on the 2020, and it will make you want to smack her.
She's that delusional?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
And it's a literal confession. Like, it is I strangled her, and I set a timer on my phone.
I mean,
I don't know how much more of a confession you can get.
That's confession if I've ever heard one. How?
And I mean, I get that you're a child and you want what's best for your child. I can't imagine what it's like having a psychopath for a child. But also, you need to be real and admit, like, my child confessed to murder, and then go on from there and see how you're going to deal with it after that, instead of sitting there going, oh no, he didn't confess. I mean, I don't know how she takes that as an audition, and then his best friend then turning around and saying, oh yeah, we did it too.
No. Mama's delusional. She needs to be locked up too, apparently. And have her head examined.
So that is the disappearance of Sarah Stern. I just feel really, really bad about her dad, Michael. He does a lot of interviews, and he's all by himself now because his wife passed away from cancer, and then his beautiful only child was murdered for 10 grand so that they could party.
That's ridiculous. Some people are so damn selfish and stupid.
Yeah, I just can't even imagine. I feel so bad. And it's just... she looks like she's probably, like, the nicest person ever.
You know, looks can be deceiving, though.
Well, that's true. Although Liam's not exactly attractive, in my personal opinion. But maybe I'm biased because he's a asshat murderer.
That's one way to put it.
Well, I can think of lots of other words, but, you know, we're recording, so I'll be a good girl.
We'll behave for now.
Exactly. So this is our second episode, and we just want to let y'all know that we are going to start putting out weekly episodes that are going to be out on Sundays. So look for our next episode to be up on December 5th. And if y'all have any case suggestions, Clint, tell them where they can send those case suggestions.
You can email us at married2murderpodcast@gmail.com. Should be able to respond to those fairly quickly and definitely take all recommendations into consideration. Also, any questions, comments, anything like that, you can contact us at the same email address.
Exactly. Critiques. I try and do the best research possible, but if I get something wrong, by all means, let me know. Generally, I try and get stuff from more than one source. And a lot of these, I'm going to know. You know, I've watched way more than I'm actually posting because I've known this story for quite a while. And then I go back and make sure because this one makes me angry. So I wanted to make sure he knew about it because I'm so glad that he's actually listening to me talk about these now because he wouldn't talk with me about them before. So thank y'all so much for listening so that he'll listen now. I'm so excited.
Yeah, but true crime is not my thing at all. And bear with us. We are learning the whole podcast world and how to do this and all that fun stuff. So if you have any advice or tips and tricks on how to make it even better for y'all's enjoyment, by all means, let us know as well.
Yeah, I like the true crime side and he likes the editing side. So it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, it's tech. You know how I am about tech.
They don't, but they will.
You know, they don't. They're going to learn.
Exactly. And if y'all have any questions about us or random stuff y'all want to know, we'll share. I just don't want to bore y'all with details that you don't want to know. But anyway, y'all have a great evening.
And we will hopefully be back to entertain y'all soon.